Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Best of Five.
One that almost didn't happen.
If you had seen the whirlwind of activity here inside the studio with Alon just yanking cables out of the old mixer and putting them into an actually older mixer, you'd be impressed. You'd say, Alon, you earned your paycheck this week. On top of that, we tricked you.
Something I've never
and
done.
And started a minute and a half early. Well, actually, we're 50 minutes late, so, you know, it evens out. Is that math? That doesn't math out. Tonight on the show, we're going to be joined as we always are. We're happy to have the whole gang here tonight, and that is John Velociraptor Guerrero. He's thrilled to be here, as you can tell. He's totally not just, like, texting his girlfriend that he always brags about having. And we have Steve, Big Daddy Ace, Ace King Offsuit Jurek.
I am no longer Big Daddy Ace.
What are you?
You're forever Big Daddy Ace.
I have now been blessed with the name Lord Spreadsheets.
Lord Spreadsheets. Where did you get that? I saw you put it on Twitter. What's the origin story?
Someone on Reddit said, like, they linked one to my schedules, and it's like, Evo Japan schedule from Lord Spreadsheets, a.k.a. Ace King Offsuit. So I'm Lord Spreadsheets now.
Hey, shout outs to Pedantic Sim for subbing to the channel. Let me see if I have these clap gifts here. Here we go. That's a good one.
Unsung hero as well. Thank you.
Yeah, and last week we were real bad about shouting them out. But let us know in the chat. How's it sound? We literally, like, totally... Hey, Die by Sword. The original. Yeah, who's that? He's our... what do you call him?
The patron saint. The patron saint of Best of Five.
Okay. So anyway, let us know how the sound is because we're trying our best, and Alon literally was like, "There's smoke coming out of his fingertips." Okay, sounds good, wonderful. Okay, guys, tonight on the show we have a lot of cool topics, neat topics even. Mortal Kombat 11. Some of you guys are jaded about
it. Like, yeah,
you're the most jaded.
I'm like not the most jaded about it at all.
That was a joke about Jade being revealed.
Oh yeah, I like Jade.
We're also going to spend about an hour at least talking about Jump Force, because that's the most important thing that has happened recently. We got some new signings. Echo Fox filled that void left by Justin Wong with arguably the best other American player that you could have asked for currently available, or I guess technically not anymore. We're going to talk about Evo Japan, of course. Steve, did you watch it?
I watched a little bit here and there, so...
John, did you watch it?
I haven't gotten around to looking it over yet, but I heard good things.
Mike, did you watch any of it?
I watched Top 8, yeah.
All right. Elon, did you watch any of it?
I watched Tekken.
Oh, is your mic not plugged in over there? We forgot to plug Elon's mic in.
No, there is no place.
Elon watched Tekken.
And then there's a bunch of discussion that'll come out of that. Prize purses and the acceptance of such. Daigo had some interesting things to say about esports in general. Talk about that.
Got to sneeze a little bit.
Go ahead. We have a sneeze coming up. And then we're going to talk about the core values. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff to talk about. Where should we get started? Steve, I'll let you take it if you want to go to the recap.
Let's start with the recap. Couple big events this past weekend. On stateside, we had Anime Ascension, the second edition of the Axis or Arc Revo themed anime tournament. You had SKD taking home the BBCF title, Shinku winning it in cross tag, Hotashi getting it done in Xrd, Melty Blood. Congratulations, KFL. I am not saying your Smash GG name. You just got to deal with that. I'm sorry.
Is that what it says there, aka that random generated?
Yeah. Yep. That is the name. And then Squish taking it home in Eunice. Congratulations to everyone who got the wins out there.
For Mike, Gesundheit just subbed to the channel.
Appreciate that.
That's a good one.
I like the language level jokes too. Yeah, very funny.
That is brilliant.
That's funny. All right, moving on. What else you got for us, team?
The big event this weekend, obviously, was Evo Japan, the second annual event in run by the Evo team in Japan. This was run in Fukuoka, Japan, as opposed to Tokyo last year.
Excellent pronunciation, by the way.
Excellent what?
Pronunciation, I said.
Oh, well, I took Japanese for 3 years. I forgot most.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
How did I not know this about you, Steve?
Because I am a bundle of secrets dipped in the enigma.
Man of mystery.
And coated in a special sauce.
Wonderful. John, you're muted.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Did you have something funny to say, John? I'm sorry. I need to interrupt the show to hear it.
I just said Steve's heart is a deep ocean of secrets.
It is. It really is.
Totally worth it. Actually, she's just muted.
Soul Calibur, Keeve, the Frenchman getting the win in Soul Calibur 6, taking it over Shen Chan in the grand final. Keeve was pretty dominant. Made it all the way to, I believe, top 16 without dropping a game. Only lost 4 games the entire tournament. So strong, strong showing for that French scene. You know, Kayane out there too. So France getting it done in Soul Calibur. Taking home 500,000 yen, which approximately $4,500 US. So gives you a nice chunk of change to pick up, especially compared to what you could have gotten from tournaments like this in years past in Japan. So congratulations to Keith there. Also congratulations to M-Dash taking home the King of Fighters. This was not a side tournament. This is a typo. That's one. Take a drink whenever you see a typo on these screens. M-Dash taking it over ET in the grand final. Pretty strong performance from him. ZJZ, the man known as Bridget, did not make top 16, last year's defending champion. So lots of heavy hitters out there. You see Mad KOF, former Evo champion, Koji KOG, Shaohai making top 8. A lot of strong players out here for KOF.
I think people underestimate how many great players have come from KOF. And how many great players still play. And I think one thing that jumps out to me from that leaderboard is, as you mentioned, you know, ZJZ not making top 16, Shaohai getting like 7th. Being a great player and being someone who was once great at a game is not enough to stay on top anymore. Like, you have to be constantly grinding, or people are too good at every game now. Even like the 11th most popular game, you can't just take time off and expect to be the best.
You know what I like seeing sometimes, and we're going to talk about esports as a whole here when we talk about Daigo and what he had to say about it. But you know, some people will say, yeah, it's easier to be the best at King of Fighters, or easier to be the best Killer Instinct player, or easier to be the best X game that isn't, you know, the main game Street Fighter or what have you. But then when you have the crossover, you're like, hey, well, check it out. These guys came from King of Fighters. Anyway, is there more recap? Of course there is.
Of course there is. It's like a great party because it never stopped. Evo Japan was part of the Arc Revo World Tour. So all three of the games on that circuit, Blaze Blue's Cross Tag, Blaze Blue Central Fiction, and Guilty Gear were part of the circuit. Looking at Cross Tag, Tomorello taking it, second top 8 for him at a Arc Revo event this year, but his first win. So he is the one who qualifies for the Arc Revo World Tour Finals. Again, Koji KOG making top 16 in multiple games. Strong weekend for him. Dorabang, strong performance from him as well, making top 16. Moving on to Blaze Blue Central Fiction. This actually was a side tournament, so no prizing available, but an official spot on the Arc Revo World Tour. Fenrich got the win. It was his second win of the circuit, so the automatic qualifying spot passed down to second place. That means that Masa is the one now headed to Arc Revo America for the finals.
I thought Fenrich was a Dragon Ball player.
He is a playa. P-L-A-Y-A.
Okay.
He was definitely a Blaze Blue player first, though.
Yeah, I was just trying to prompt you.
He was known. I remember him being like a real young kid, you know, still acne all over his face, you know, just at the arcade, like playing Jin at age 13. So, all
right.
He has grown into the man he is today. Right through on. Jin Kisaragi.
Okay. Elon, what are you doing over there, pal?
Fixing audio levels,
he says. In the meantime, you want to cut back to Steve since he's, you know, doing the recap and all that?
Hey, there we go. You also had Guilty Gear Xrd, which was part of the tour. And this was a pretty impressive showing if you watch Top 8 on Sunday. Samito got the win over Cha-Cha-Cha in the grand final to get the automatic qualifying spot. You had a whole bunch of great players. Tomo Machibo, Venom in there, Nage, Ogawa getting knocked out before Top 8, Kazunoko before Top 8, Lost Soul holding it down for the U.S., getting Top 16 at a Guilty Gear tournament in Japan. Strong showing for him. But it's Samito, who is headed to Arc Revo America. And then we close it out with the two biggest games in terms of prize pool. Both of these had 3 million yen prize pools, 1.5 million for the winner, which was translates to about a little under 15,000 US. The name up top here in the Tekken tournament is no typo. It might not be, if you only followed Tekken World Tour, it might not be a familiar name. But Arslan Ash from Pakistan got it done, and got it done impressively, beating AK in the grand final, coming all the way through losers. He got knocked into losers pretty early, round of 64. And then just rattled off win after win after win to get to the title. You see Jimmy J making top eight as well. Saint making it. Also notable are the players who weren't in that top eight.
That's the first place my eyes went, and like down in that bottom right corner. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you had some big names that got knocked out. Tekken World Tour champion Rang Chu was in there and got knocked out. John Ding, Chanel, Kokoma, Nii, Naroma, JDCR got knocked out before top 16. This was a tournament full of killers. And you see a guy like Arslan Ash, who very strong player, beat Nii in that Middle Eastern tournament earlier this year, and actually beat Nii again in this one. When you see a name that isn't necessarily that familiar, you think, okay, he got some good luck. He had some easy opponents to get there, and you know, luck was on his side. Let me list off some of the names he beat. Nii, Chanel, Rixta, Lohai, Book, Jimmy J Tran, Chikurin, Cherry Berry Mango, and AK twice.
Might be the best losers run ever.
That is a hit list. And according to Challenge, in those matches I just listed off, by game count, he went a combined 23-4. It wasn't just like 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. He was putting in work.
Yeah, and then there was obviously, if you were following, I've never heard of this player before. You know, I'm a scrub and I'm an 09er. I only play Street Fighter 4, so I don't know anything about Tekken. But I was seeing the tweets and the stories talking about the difficulty this guy had actually making it to the venue itself. You know, flights and visas and permissions, and then he almost didn't make it. He literally got to the venue, I think, an hour before his pools were going to start. Steve, do you have any more context on there? Anything else you can flesh that story out?
ESPN had an interview conducted by Kenny Omega about this.
Yeah, which was neat too, by the way, the fact that Kenny Omega was doing that.
Yeah, and the brunt of it is he had to take 7 flights to get there because of scheduling and other connections. What was supposed to be a 1-day trip turned out to be a 2.5-day trip from Pakistan to to Fukuoka, which was absolutely ridiculous. And then to do that and to turn in a performance like this was just insane.
Yeah, they were saying that, like, the day prior, he was literally, at one point, he thought, there's just no way I'm going to make it, and he was in tears. Can you imagine, like, the emotional stress, and then still making it and still getting first? I mean, it's impressive.
Powered him up.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
And like I said, this is a guy you did not see on Tekken World Tour last year, so he has a sponsor.
He never entered one of the tournaments?
There weren't really any. There's only like one Middle Eastern event all season.
Incredible.
So if this guy gets sponsored and this guy can travel, watch out. This is a guy who is going to do
it. Are you making a joke if this guy can travel because he had such a hard time?
I've been on the internet watching people talk about how, like, some dude in their basement could beat everyone for like 100 years. I mean, like, ever since I was playing Melee in 2005, you always hear, "Oh yeah, this kid's so good if he came out," and they always bust out. You know, they always suck. They always do whatever. Maybe
if
they're
I let
okay.
them out of my basement, they would do so well.
And he just came out of nowhere, beat everyone. That's insane.
He did
that it. Never ever happens.
Put his money where his mouth was, and delivered.
Never happens.
All right, but now the most important game.
Yes. the main event of the weekend was the Street Fighter V tournament. And this one, if you're a fan of Echo Fox, you probably don't want to look at the top four. Momochi, the new signing for Victrix Pro, taking the win over, guess who else? Fudo in second place. Not again. Powell, strong showing for him in third. Punk, what a run for him to make top four. Another former Echo Fox player. You had two in top four. Fudo, what can you say about Fudo?
I feel lost. Bad, dude. He was up 1-0, and he dropped a combo to go up 2-0 in the grand finals in the second set. Like, he dropped an easy birdie combo, like a 7-frame link with the input buffer to lose the round that he would have won, go up 2-0, he probably would have won the tournament. So, yikes.
Oh. You know, another tough break for him, but still.
You get for playing birdie like a dick.
Still, strong weekend for him. Takes home 600,000 yen. Momochi, for his win, was awarded 1.5 million yen, about $14,000. There was some worry about whether or not he would actually get that prize. Do we want to jump into that?
Yeah,
right
go
now?
For it.
Okay. If, as you may or may not know, Japan has very strict anti-gambling laws, and that includes video games. So there are very strict regulations on how much money a player can win through a game of chance. And video games are considered a game of chance. So, just last year, the Japanese government formed the Japanese Esports Union to begin licensing players and allow them to, under certain circumstances, take home larger winnings. Most of the top players from the Street Fighter Capcom Pro Tour accepted licenses. One person who did not was Momochi. He protested the need for licenses like this and how they were determined and why they only were given to certain games and not others. So the rumor going around was that because he won this tournament and he wasn't a licensed gamer and he did not accept a license for winning, he would only take home the maximum allowable, which was about, is it 100,000 yen, which is about $900 US. It does turn out that because the prize is not funded by Capcom itself, it's funded by sponsors, that he is able to accept the full pricing. But there's still that issue of...
Oh, so he was actually able to accept all of it?
Yes, it's being reported that he's able to take home the full pricing. But there's still that issue of, you know, is this the right way for gamers to be recognized in Japan?
The root of it to me is that it's like total horseshit that it's a game of chance, right? It's not. But my question is, or my understanding had been that he had been
some
offered.
Some SF5 like, players would argue that, but yeah, go ahead.
But they would say that that he was like, all right, well, then just accept the license. Get the license. Succumb to that thing that you were against, and you can have the full pricing. And he declined that. Is that a misreporting?
I don't know if it was a misreporting for if he was offered after this event. This was, like I said, because it wasn't the pricing was offered by sponsors. He did not need a Jesu license to accept it, but he would. Excuse me. He did refuse the licensing initially. He was offered. He was one of the top finishers on the tour in 2017, which meant he was offered the first one of the licenses in the first batch back in February 2018, and he refused. And we actually have a quote from back him from when he initially refused it about why he turned it down. He says, quote, "The things called games in Japan have gotten big because of the initiative of all the communities that dot the entire country. With those communities supporting us, we were able to perform and work as pro gamers. But I think that the fact that we are even respected as professionals is because of the power of the community and all of the players. Therefore, to ignore the people who one by one built up the value of a pro gamer in Japan, decide on the license system in some unknown conference room, then come out and arbitrarily make an announcement to the community and players, I feel like this way of doing it is in no way sincere, and it is difficult to feel any sort of affection for games or the people involved."
Yeah, man. I wish that I spoke Japanese, and I wish that we had access to Momochi, because he seems like such a stand-apart kind of guy. I just want to know more about him. I want to know more about you, Momochi.
Well, we might, you know, we might be able to make some magic happen. I'll see what
Christine knows him.
Steve speaks. Yeah, he took 3 years of Japanese. Maybe he can just do the whole interview for us.
Oh God, I forgot like 2.9 years worth of that.
What's the 0.01 that you got left?
I can say you have a large fist or a large fish. I can say you have large breasts. That's about it.
I mean, you can give some nice compliments while you eat sushi and while you peruse this video of core values. Why don't we go ahead and move over to that? I'm going to fast forward to the good bits, if you catch my meaning.
We're going to get banned for this, aren't we?
Why would we?
Every time the chat says core values, Joe, take a shot.
For every time. So... So this is during Evo Japan. They had a Dead or Alive exhibition. Oh my god! I didn't realize that he'd come out doing that. I don't actually think that it was this part that was so offensive to Mr. Wizard. I can fast forward to the bit. I mean, this is already. Man, I don't even know where to begin. What does this say about what this game developer or the marketing department
and acknowledge our new subscription?
I just remember there was a point, right, when Dead or Alive said they were done. They were
right,
done.
It's like ironic.
There was no more.
The characters are covered up.
No more boobs in Dead or Alive. It was going to be a pure fighting game for Christians. And then was that like on purpose to set up to this? Like I'm trying
this
to think.
This has happened. This has happened before. I was talking to Catalyst, who's been following this entire kind of ordeal for more than just the Dead or Alive 6, you know, storyline. And it was almost the same idea back in Dead or Alive 5. When they first started production, they revealed the game. They said something along the lines of, "We're going to make this more realistic." That's the first thing the Team Ninja says. It's like, "We know that you know this for sexualization. We know that you saw, you know, Extreme Beach Volleyball and that we're pretty much defined as a fighting game and as like a sexual visuals presentation, but we're going towards being more realistic and you're not going to see as much of it." And then they like released the demo for Dead or Alive 5 and they apparently got feedback that said, "No, we want more sexy stuff." And so right at the end, they threw all the sexy stuff back into the game and it was what DOA 5 wound up being. Then when Dead or Alive 6 is announced, they kind of have the same story. We're moving away. We're moving towards more realistic stuff. It's not going to be as jiggly. It's not going to be as sexualized. But then as the story progresses and we get closer and closer to the release date, we find out, no, it's not as much reduction as we said originally. And then it's the same as everything has always been. And that's been Team Ninja's story since day one. And I think that we're silly for expecting that they're going to do anything differently. But in the meantime, it's like they get a lot of attention on the game. It's a whole lot of discussion about it. And ultimately, you know, DOA is going to be what DOA is. It's a fighting game for sure, but it's also jiggly boobies. And this was kind of like a culmination of that. And it was just a big like, hey guys, we're still doing it.
So then, if it isn't enough to like get your Christian values up in a tizzy watching this, then they start showing the photo mode. And we're gonna show you a little bit of it. Like they literally start going for the cross shots, and like they're just pandering so hard. I don't think it was this one actually that did it. It was this one here, where it appears as if this wrestling gentleman is performing a sexual act on this fighting female. And we're gonna cut away at this point because now I'm starting to blush.
I'm so triggered.
Now, I got to be honest.
I think they got what they wanted out of it.
I'm not offended the sexual nature of this entire presentation, but I'm offended at what this marketing department assumes that the fighting game community is comprised of.
I think
of.
They got exactly what they wanted.
Because we're talking about it?
They probably added sales to their game, and yeah, I don't think they regret this at all.
But they assume
this is exactly what they've done. You know,
now they can market themselves as like too hot for Evo,
right?
Like the fighting game that was censored.
Here, you stop. You talk.
No, I'm gonna say this. This game developer thinks that we're some like neckbeard, basement dwelling, chronic masturbators that would love this kind of game, and that part offends me. Not this presentation.
Did you play DOA?
No. Am I gonna? No.
Now, I'm not saying that DOA players are all chronic neckbeard masturbators, but I'm saying that there's a significant portion of the DOA community that expects this to be part of things. And if you were to remove the sexuality to the degree that they've talked about removing it and said they might remove it, I think that you'd have a legitimate problem. I think that that's an expected part of the identity of the franchise as it stands right now.
Yes, so, but they came out and said, I know you mentioned that this has happened before, but they came out and said, and then look, I'm going to find like the, so then they showed this version of Kasumi, right? And she's fully dressed. Like, look, this is proof that we're changing our ways. Right. I mean, that was like the whole shtick, but then they busted this old school version out.
Yeah.
Which is,
by the way, the graphics on this game are lovely. So you were saying, John,
mm-hmm.
You were saying that
I'm not a chronic masturbator. That was the end of that thought.
Okay.
But this is something that they've, you know, here's the thing. DOA is DOA. It's not just a fighting game. It's not just sex. There is a very good fighting game there. And they showed that off in the first half of their program. They showed off the gameplay. They announced the DOA World Tour, which is going to have a 1 million or 10 million yen prize pool, which is about $90,000 US. There is a very serious game there, but it's a serious game in the way that Hooters is a restaurant. You know, you can go into Hooters and enjoy the wings. You can go in to Hooters and enjoy the beer. But the majority of people, for better or for worse, know what they're going in there for. And it's the cheesecake. It's the fan service. And this tiger is not going to change its stripes. Whether that's good or bad, that's a personal judgment. But this game is what it is. It's never going to be anything other than that.
Okay.
And it's weird to have this controversy about it because we're all shocked that a DOA game tries to
be right.
Sexy.
You're right. And we're probably spending way too much time talking about this and not about the much more hilarious and potentially interesting topic of Mr. Wizard's tweet saying this goes against the core values of the FGC. That, of course, was an instant meme rivaling 895 and functions.
How long did that
long enough?
Because it got deleted pretty
long enough for John, the chronic masturbator, to do what he had to do.
I didn't post that story. You know what's funny though is
it's hard to post with one hand.
The visual sequence that I picture Wizard like sitting in a chair watching Evo Japan play out, and he's happy with it, and you know his baby is off and going, and all of a sudden he sees this and he has to freak out and he has to like get up, which takes a second, and then run like you know a well and get to like the right people to tell him to cut the stream, and then meanwhile he's like fumbling with his phone trying to post and avoid like some SJW hate and such. And totally is just reacting and playing to what he thinks his crowd is thinking right now. And in reality, he should have just let it go and not acknowledged it at all. But him like freaking out at all of that and getting into such an uproar is a funny visual to me.
Well, do you think that this is that he should have let it go? Because I mean, let's be clear. I don't hate sex. I enjoy a beautiful woman as much as the next heterosexual man.
Yeah, that's a bold statement.
This was a little like too much for me in terms of what I want to see in a fighting game. If I want to go see stuff like that, I can. There are plenty of websites I can go to and see that and more. This is not something that I would necessarily want on my stream. Something I would want, you know, if I'm partnering with other brands, this isn't something I would necessarily want in my archives.
Your values guy, your social media guy can't be Mr. Wizard. I think that's the lesson you have out of this. If you want to be taken seriously as like a, this is our core values, it can't be Mr. Wizard. That's where the hilarity of all this comes, is that it's Wiz saying it. It's not that it's Evo saying it. It's not that it happened. It's that Wiz comes out himself, of all people, and makes that tweet.
I think the big issue here for a lot of people, you know, obviously the line, a lot of people find the line funny, but there's two key things going on. One, you know, there's him saying it's not just Evo's core values.
Yeah, FGC.
FGC's core values. He has somehow taken this throne as the spokesperson for the entire fighting game community.
I mean, he would be arguably one of the pillars. Like, if you were going to come up with the list of core values, official core values, as absurd as that sounds, you might put him on the panel.
But how many copies does DOA sell? How can you say this isn't part of our core values when so many people in the FGC buy this game, play this game, support this game?
The entire sequence was a frantic, oh no, I might lose status on the social media level because people are seeing this on my stream. So he was just going into total fire control, damage control mode, and just saying the things that immediately came to mind that would, in his mind, remedy this situation. All of this echoes, it's cookie cutter kind of response. So it was him freaking out and saying, oh no, people might get mad at this. What am I supposed to say? Look it up in the book really quick and then say it. But in the meantime, or in the process, he wound up incorrectly speaking for the FGC, and his flailing action and like what Donka was saying in his status as Mr. Wizard and all that comes along with that made it just the whole process look goofy, and it became meme worthy.
Yeah, and of course, Mr. Wizard is in the business of fighting games, right? He makes money, his livelihood, in the FGC. And is he the guy that's going to delineate the core values, or is the community going to delineate the core values? We asked our Discord chat, just you know, off the cuff, what are some of the core values that you guys would throw on here? We got some meme-worthy ones, but there's also punctuality, cleanliness versus no stank, level playing field, right? Seating should be fair. Respect all games, inclusivity, diversity, tolerance, community over business. That was Burger Gyros that gave us those. So there are some things that we all kind of have in mind, but certainly on here isn't, you know, none of what we saw on that on that stage and, there.
Well, and go ahead.
Well, just one other point, and I don't know where exactly it belongs, but also this was in Japan, and I feel like the cultural differences of, you know, pertaining to sexuality between what's okay to be presented on a live stage and in such a stream in Japan versus what might be okay, you know, more in the West are very different. But we're in Japan, you know, so it's like, it's not as crazy, I don't think. And I don't think it warranted such a response. I think that Wizard should have reacted as a businessman and what he has to lose, and who there are people that I'm sure saw this and were upset or offended by it. But I think that the handling needed to be less flail and you know, less oh my gosh and run down and you know, the sequence that we just described, and more, and maybe not him saying it on social media because of the stuff Mike was saying. I just think it wasn't handled very well. As far as damage control.
Here's the other thing. I mean, if you're running an event, don't you have a plan from the people you have hired to do this? I mean, they hired gravure models to show off a game about TNA and have them,
and they did
have
their
them
thing.
Show off the camera mode. Like, this was, unless they didn't ask them what they were doing or they outright lied to him about what they were doing, this is what was going to happen. Like, I just don't see when this wasn't going to be what happened. Like, it's on them early, and I get why they want to shut it off. But yeah, I mean, at some point you're going to take some flack no matter what you did.
The tinfoil hat, conspiracy theory is, as you mentioned, it was totally part of the plan to generate
that Wiz oh, yeah. part of that. Yeah,
because he also let it run for like 30 fucking minutes before he was like, yeah. whoa. Yeah. Okay, so have we beat that dead horse into the ground yet?
There's one more point I wanted to bring up. And that's by saying that this, that something goes against the core values of Evo and the core values of against the FGC. That means that anything they sign off on by connection to that does stand for the core values of the FGC. So people are going to see, they're going to be mad when they see people, when they see them cutting off the stream for excessive sex. But if you look at the violence in Mortal Kombat 11, for example, and saying, okay, that's fine. You know, you can chop off, you can pull a guy's spine out of his body and have the blood dripping.
Well, listen, that's like no problem, clearly but some almost like bad. Comical level, hilarious violence versus that was some real jiggle that we saw there, Steve.
But I mean, wouldn't that be considered comical level jiggle?
But that's also been like a age old critique of the United States as a whole, right? Where we're like super Christian and ooh, don't let me see a nipple by accident on a Super Bowl halftime show. And in Europe and in Japan, clearly there's more relaxed, I don't know, morals around sexuality. But violence, well, we know we got that in spades here in the United States. So it is a bizarre cultural thing, but Mr. Wiz is an American.
Feels like a net positive for the FGC overall. We got a good meme out of it, so yeah. I'm happy.
Steve says that the meme is going to be dead by Tuesday. Tuesday's almost over.
No, we still have that meme.
Yeah.
That's going to be a year-long meme.
Yeah, we're going to hear that.
You probably have Evo signs in the main finals day, just core values.
I can't remember. I can't remember the one that was no. It was like no, like being like, God, like misbehaving, but being like. What was that they put into the CPT rules that one time?
No thuggery?
No thuggery. That's what it was. Thuggery. We haven't heard that one in a while. But A95 still comes up. And what was the other one I said? Yeah, functions. Just a function. All right, let's move on. We have plenty more to talk about, including the fact, I alluded to it at the top of the show, Knuckledew has been picked up by Echo Fox and presumably filled the spot that was reserved for Justin Wong. So shout-outs to Knuckledew.
Knuckledew's been posting a lot recently, his training sessions on like Facebook and stuff. I don't know if that's his team doing it, but he seems like he's real into making this season count again. Yeah. I mean, obviously he missed a lot of tournaments last season. He's been a great player the entire time he played SF5, and I can't imagine like now that he's going super serious again, he won't be just as good. So I think that's a permanently good pickup.
Okay. Soul Calibur. Wait. Did we finish all these Evo Japan topics? Dead or Alive. World Championship announced. Core Values. We've laughed. BB Tag. I have that trailer here, I believe. Wait a second, Steve. I think I have it here. Yeah. We can play it as. What was the business here with. There was a six square. Oh my God.
Some new character. Yeah, that's like. So, I mean, BB Tag is an amalgamation of four games, right? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you've got Unio, BB, Persona, and then the Ruby characters. And now they announced there's going to be an Arcana Heart character from a different game. Mm-hmm. And then people saw like a sixth one. So they're wondering what's the sixth game that will have representation. And there's not really like a super obvious pick. I mean, maybe Guilty Gear, but that seems far-fetched. Dragon Ball seems far-fetched, etc. So who knows?
Are people hype about this? I don't have my finger on the pulse here in this community here for BB Tag.
I mean, BB Tag players are hype about it.
Well, shout out to BB Tag players then. All right. The next topic was Soul Calibur 6 Amy announced. I did not get that trailer, assuming there was one. What do you want to say about that, Steve? You got something?
We can talk about that next week.
All right. More. So Momochi Money, we talked about that. Okay, so now we are officially over the Evo Japan topics. They did announce one for next year. There's also an interview that Kenny Omega did with Markman that's pretty interesting. You can look that up on ESPN Esports. What about the Tekken trailer?
Wasn't it just more of the same shit? Wasn't it just
No. There were some pretty cool jokes that they slid in there.
So Elon's going to have to yell because his mic is not plugged in, but you can cut to it if you like. Here's Julia. She's Kit.
Chanel is happy
because of Julia?
Yeah, some people are not happy with the change in character, but they're still happy to see her doing her thing. She was announced as coming out on the 28th, I believe. I forget the date. And then they showed off the Negan trailer.
Let me fast forward to that. Yeah, this was great. And there's a is this the trailer where Harada comes out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I spoiled it. Harada's in the trailer, and it was fantastic. Ilana, I know that you don't have a mic, but you had theorized that since the season was about to kick off, that it would make sense for Negan to drop. Does it line up? I'm not on top of when the show's coming back.
I'm not sure.
I think it
started last week, maybe?
Started last week, so no, that did not work out.
So right here, he's saying, don't ask me for shit.
The classic Harada line.
The classic.
Yeah. And then
and they bring Harada out, and he basically threatens him to over the fact that they drop characters one at a time. So now he is coming out with Julia.
Okay.
So would expect that the final two characters are coming out in a pair, just because they brought out the first two and now these two. So
It's all voiced by Jeffrey Dean Morgan, right?
Yeah, that's great.
So they actually got him to say, you know, like to talk to Harada. Right here is the sequence. That's pretty cool.
There's Harada. Looks hilarious. Dressed like a man in black. And he's about to get... Was it Lucille or what's the name of the bat?
Yep,
Lucille.
All right, cool. Tekken's cool. I should play that game, I guess. Who's got time for games? Okay. Moving on. Mortal Kombat 11. Do you have anything else to say? I'm sorry, I cut you off with Sonic Fox. We're good there. Shout out to him. We look forward to seeing... not only what he does this year, but also his vlogs, his travel vlogs that are being edited by somebody I know. All right, Mortal Kombat news. There was another Kombat cast. They revealed Jade, which some people had already kind of had spoiled for them.
Yeah,
by
leak
the
seems pretty real at this point.
Yep. So let's
guys, we forgot the Street Fighter V announcement at Evo Japan.
So did they. Was that the joke?
That was the joke. That was a perfect execution.
Baraka looks so fucking cool.
Wait, let's play it here. So Baraka does look pretty sick. So here's Jade. She's in her I'm dead but brought back to life state. I believe Revenant is the term. And she's got a pretty sick... She's got a run, which people are complaining that the game's kind of slow and they want the run back. She has a run. She has some cool moves. And her fatality is... I feel like the fatalities in this game are pretty... imaginative? Is that fair to you?
Yeah, they're good.
So here she is. Her other costumes have her not dead. She's got the ability to phase through fireballs. She has the run. That combination seems pretty OP.
She's I like this character. I could play this character.
The combat cast, they went in detail. You should go back and watch that because they did, as I said, they played the character. They also showed Baraka's second fatality in that combat cast, which is pretty neat. But I think they do the fatality here at the end of this trailer, so we're going to vamp until we get to see that, because it's pretty neat.
Jade was a character that I remember playing. I played Mortal Kombat Trilogy in terms of like the MK3 sort of series the most. And I remember Jade just as the computer just being such a bitch with the with her invincibility run, which in this I think it's when she turns purple, but she's turned white. And she would just, her combos went on for days and she would melt you. But she looks really cool here. I hated Jade and I like this. And this fatality is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's just, it's a little cruel actually. This part right here, it's like, don't mock the dead, you know what I mean? He's doing like a pole dance.
Wait, are you serious?
No, I'm not.
Are you offended? Okay, I was going to say.
I'm not offended
though,
by
the
this.
The one thing about, I mean, yeah, if it was sexualized and it was a pole for sexual dancing, then I'd have an issue. But no, the one thing that I'm seeing in Mortal Kombat 11 fatalities a little too much is the eye thing. They've got like an eye popping out in like three or four different fatalities at this point. And it's kind of like, guys, it's kind of beating a dead horse at this point.
So that was that, and we're excited about, I think Mortal Kombat is looking great. Like, the game looks fantastic. Of course, some people are mad that she's not in her itsy-bitsy bikini look. They're covered up, guys. They're killing my game. They're doing the opposite of Dead or Alive. But what people are actually, some people are quite upset about, is that after they announced the Summit of Time, which will be a Mortal Kombat-themed like the ones they did for Dragon Ball and certainly other esports titles in the past, the people that are being invited are not core NRS players, and therefore they shouldn't be invited.
I looked at the list. Like, there's, like, one arguable one, which is Chris G, who, like, tested all the games and was pretty good at a lot of them.
Dude, the guy's got tech videos.
It was, like, hella tame. Like, it was mostly NRS guys, for sure.
Well,
like,
the only guy I really saw was Tweety, of course, who was really getting heated about who's getting invited and why.
He's mad that he wasn't in it. I mean, he was good last year. He's a great NRS player, and I hope he gets voted in if he's one of the best. But I mean, he's just mad.
But to understand, this is a guy who won EVO. This is a guy who is in that echelon of the top NRS players, especially at the end of Injustice. And you look at the rumored list here, and you have a bunch of guys who are NRS players, guys like Sonic Fox, Tekken Master, Foxy Grandpa, but you also have a Chris G, and you also have a Tyrant, who is a very strong player, but not necessarily someone from the NRS scene, and you have the EVO champion not in there. So he's going to feel a certain kind of way about that. And I understand it. You know, it's that balance between getting a lineup that is entertaining and getting a lineup that fully represents the scene that they're coming from.
You know, now as someone who's basically a Smash Ultimate player at this point, they had the same problem, but I would say worse, where their actual best player, by most metrics, Tweak, wasn't invited. And, like, four Melee players were invited. And then in this first round of voting, Mango, who, like, got, like, 100-something at the last tournament, got voted in, and Tweak got voted out. So this has become – Summit's model of inviting these players has become something that's kind of begun to upset people who don't exactly agree with who they invite or don't.
Now, if you're trying to get most eyeballs on an event like this – Then you open it up to fan votes. By definition, you're going to get not only the most popular players, but the most potential eyeballs on it.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is that how much of this is because of Summit's model, and how much of this is because these games are brand new and nobody knows it? I mean, how long has Ultimate been out? You don't have a ton of results to draw from. With Mortal Kombat 11, there are obviously zero results to draw from because the game isn't even out yet.
Yeah.
So at some point you have to make that call where, okay, this guy's probably going to be good. This guy might be good. He's entertaining too, so sure. But I still understand the frustration of someone like a Tweety not getting in.
I think they probably should have invited the EVO champion, which I believe was Rewind or... Who was it? I can't
remember. Yeah, probably. I think so. Noble Rewind. We have events here in like our local scene where we'll do invitationals or teams or things like that. Sometimes we'll do like a Topanga where like six guys are invited or six players are invited, and then there's like a playoff for like the last spot, things like that. And every time without fail, there is drama if it's someone gets to choose who gets in, as opposed to it's whoever won the last event or something more black and white like that, there's always, always drama. And like, I get it. I get that, you know, it's measurable and you can go, well, here, there are this many bullet points on my resume and therefore I should be qualified. But you know what, like when it comes down to voting and when it comes down to just a personal choice of an individual or some kind of a group, as opposed to what's just specifically there on paper, justice is not always going to be done. And in situations like this, it's like, yeah, I hear you. You won Evo and you weren't selected. You're probably in the right for being upset. But at the end of the day, I think I've been through this too many times. You have to just go with what whoever's making the thing, whoever's making the event says. And if there's a way to earn your spot into it, then you just earn your spot into it. And it's like, is it fair? No. But it's at the end of the day, just stop wasting your breath on all this and stuff. Well, I deserve. Well, I deserve. Well,
see,
I deserve.
Yeah, that's where you fuck up, right? That's literally where it's like, just because you said that, well, like, I'm less interested.
Honeybee was another guy who wasn't on the list. And he is like, that was a more surprising one where he's been, you know, one of the biggest content creators, you know, made like a million top eights across both MK and Injustice. But he just said, fuck it. He started campaigning instantly, and I will bet any amount of money you want that he makes it in. I'm nearly positive he'll make it in. So
that was another good fighting game meme. Any amount.
Yeah, any amount, any amount. and yeah, that's what you got to do.
All right. Yeah, and then he was like calling people out. That's the thing. It's like it was the wrong approach there. So learn from Honeybee, Tweety. Instead of being upset and saying they don't deserve it, say, hey, would you consider me? Because I'd like to be there. I'll show you a good time. Am I right, Steve?
No, you are not right. You are not right at all.
Hey, any other Mortal Kombat stuff you guys want to talk about? Are you excited about – is there a Kombat Cast this week?
Mm-mm. I think it's for, like, mobile or something like that. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I don't think it's a traditional one like where – oh, I don't know if you saw this, but it was, like, way earlier this morning, like 12 hours ago. The director for Bayonetta 1, and then he's like the lead story guy in Bayonetta 2, just tweeted out Bayonetta X Mortal Kombat. And that was it. And no one knows what the hell that means. But this is a high up in the development team of Bayonetta, which there's a Bayonetta
Scorpion and Smash.
To Switch.
I don't think Smash, Scorpion and Smash. Right? I think Bayonetta and MK11, that'd be sick. Ed Boon said,
so we think of her as far as fighting games. We think of her in Smash, which is much more of a tame game than Mortal Kombat. But she's from a mature series, which is all about sexuality and violence. And she would fit very well into the Mortal Kombat universe. So, I mean, and I think Nintendo kind of owns Bayonetta and such. So it's probably a long shot. But that's floating out there in the ether right now. And no one really knows what it means.
I'm with Dark Hollow. I don't even want to see Bayonetta in MK animations, dude. Oh, God. It'll look insane.
Phantom X Death says Bayonetta MK11 Switch exclusive. When was the last time we had console exclusive characters?
See, and yeah, that's like, that makes me think of like Soul Calibur 2. I know it's happened since then. Soul Calibur has actually done that a lot, I think. But in this day and age, console exclusive, I don't know if that's much of something you'd ever do anymore.
Cool. All right, so we're going to go on to the real topic. I said we're going to discuss this at length.
Yeah, it's important.
Check this out. This is from Jump Force.
My planet needs me. To be fair, Frieza has floated away like that, and a lot of Dragon Ball Z characters have floated like this, where they don't do much of anything, and their feet stay flat as though they were still on a surface. But this is not the only instance of terrible animation in this game.
Do you have the one with the create a character with the broken neck?
Let me see. I pulled this off of somebody's random YouTube channel, but I can look. I don't know if it has what you're discussing, what you're referencing here, but why don't we just scrub through this guy's video here?
While you're looking at that, like it's not necessarily poorly done animation. It's just poorly done, I think, editing. But there's a scene where I guess Vegeta gets corrupted. And the way that happens is like this little cube that's like a little brown cube like enters your body and it corrupts you. Well, he's standing out in a field and the cube is just below him, behind him, and it floats upwards beyond the sight of the camera. And then all of a sudden he's corrupted. So it looks like it goes straight up his ass. It's like there's no other way to interpret it just because of the way it was edited. And maybe that is exactly what happens. But the whole so the idea here is Jump Force, if you haven't seen it, is the game looks fine, but then you get to the cutscenes of the story mode and it's just janky as all hell. Like they totally ran out of time. And the characters are super stiff and the animations are super weird and lame and it's distracting. And when your game comes out in 2019 and it's these huge anime figures that are all coming together for this, it should be this event. And we're all being distracted by how poor the animations are in the cinema or in the cinematic story. And so that's what we're looking at here.
I'm just going to
watch out for those corrupting suppositories.
Yeah.
People don't try very hard with the IPs they get. I don't know if they just assume it'll sell, if they just assume it'll make money just on the back of the IP, but we've been seeing a lot of Marvel Infinite, we got this, we've got just like people are buying up these IPs and then just chucking them on a plate. Like, here you go. And
it's a shame.
Like,
I mean, not always. Dragon Ball was good.
Dragon Ball looked a lot better, but I mean, we see it a lot, that's for sure.
I wouldn't like to see this in something like a Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, but it bothers me more in a game like this because this game is all about the universe. This is all about those characters coming together. And to see it, you want to see that treated well because this is sort of like a dream match sort of
scenario. It's a fantasy fan thing, yeah.
Right. This is all about fans, like not sexual fan service, obviously, but a different type of fan service. And to see this sort of treatment for it just sucks. You know, even if it's not the type of game I play, it just sucks.
Well, it feels like whoever it was that was coming up with the idea goes, you know what people would really like if we had Luffy and Goku and Naruto and all of these huge
Deku from My Hero Academia, the best anime in recent history.
We'll put them all together, and it's like they go, "Yeah, that's a good idea." And they only got as far as making the front cover, you know, with all these faces on, because they knew that was the main appeal. And after that, everything is just totally phoned in. And in saying everything, I don't know, I haven't played the game, so I couldn't say everything. But as far as the cinematics go, and they're as important as Steve just articulated they were. It's like, yeah, you phoned in a lot of other very important things, and it feels to me at that point like it's kind of a cash grab. It's like people will buy this because they see Goku and Naruto on the front, and they want to see what happens when Goku fights Naruto, because who doesn't? But it feels lazy. And furthermore, this is Bandai. Bandai's been knocking it out of the park with games like Tekken 7, with Dragon Ball FighterZ, and to see them do this, it's like, that kind of sucks.
All right, Steve just sent me the jank video. Let me see if I can download it in time to look at it here.
One other thing while you're putting that together, which I kind of wanted to bring up when we were talking about DOA, but the development process before a game drops has become incredibly important, as we've talked about multiple times on this show before. And it's interesting comparing, obviously, MBCI, DOA 6, and now this game. You can argue what their final products seem to be like, but it's like the relationship that you have with your fan base and with the onlookers is incredibly important even before the game drops. And it's interesting to see how these, like the different stories for each of these three titles, at least, and I'm sure you can jump out into other titles, but it's interesting to see how they played out and what the end results were.
All right, y'all want to see this video?
Let's see this video.
What are we looking at here, Steve?
They look good already.
We're just talking, hanging out.
There's the jack neck.
Oh my god. Oh yeah.
Vegeta can look at it.
Pause it on the. Could you go back to the neck, please, and pause it?
Yeah.
What?
I'm confused too, jack neck.
Like, did she murder the giraffe? Really good.
They spent a lot of time on Luffy's hat, and so they ran out of time to animate that movement.
All right, guys, we don't have a ton of show left, but we do have a couple topics left. Nintendo Direct, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate version 3.0 is coming. I'm sure you're excited.
Yeah.
Choco Blanco Mo, which got picked up by Vitrix Pro. I bet you Jay Wong had something to do with that. Daigo said, let me see if I can pull up. This is Hi Fight. Dude, this guy doesn't only provide you with the sickest highlights. He also translates Daigo's thoughts on esports. I'm going to read a little bit of it to you. This was an interview that happened presumably at Evo Japan. Daigo says, about esports, it's more about the fight between developers rather than players. Games are changing all the time, and esports players have to adapt to that, which is not similar to traditional sports.
Yeah, we brought that up on the show a bunch of times.
All right, so you don't want to talk about this at all, is what you're saying?
No, we can talk about it. I'm just saying, okay. Yeah, it's a good summary. Not
in front
summary.
Of the children, guys.
I don't think there was anything in here that was, like, eye-opening. I just thought it was a pretty good summary of the issues we have, yeah.
You know, do you recall, maybe you do, the TESPA, the Texas Esports Association? There, it was the first collegiate esports association.
Now it's
of
esports association.
Right, and they're you know, national. But I remember talking to the founders of that. I was in an interview with them, and I was talking to them. I was like, dude, and it was a big StarCraft event. I'm like, man, what happens when StarCraft dies? He's like, well, that's the thing. You can't attach yourself to a single game. You have to attach yourself to the genre, right? And I think that applies here in that you have to adapt to the coming game. And that's...
I mean, Fortnite just lost to a game that came out of nowhere with barely any marketing until it came out. I mean, you're at any time can be usurped in the world of video games and esports.
So do we have any broad thoughts on that before we move on to the very last segment of the show, which will be a block grab?
I should probably mention Tekken. The Tekken World Tour is returning for 2019. That got announced. The first event is going to be the mix-up in Europe in April, which means it is not going to be final round in Atlanta. Very historic Tekken tournament, not part of this year's Tekken World Tour.
Crescent EXE wants to know, Steve, are you working on the write-ups for the 2019 Tekken World Tour?
That is to be determined.
Cool, man.
So we'll see.
Okay. Let's end the show with a block grab. Block grab. Shouts to Ian for making that graphic back in the Dota Esports days that we're still using. Okay, block or grab. In the spirit of core values, we're going to block and grab on some FGC memes. First up to bat is core values. Block or grab on core values.
I'm grabbing on this.
What does it mean to block
Mr.
or
Wiz.
Grab, though?
Are you on board with this meme? Should we keep it going past Tuesday? Or it's a dead meme.
I'm grabbing. This one makes me laugh. I'm sorry. The idea of, like, exactly as John said, Mr. Wizard, like, getting up from his chair, like, covered in McRibs to make a tweet about the fact that, like, some girls are bouncing around on the stream. Just, I can't deal with it. It's too funny. It makes me laugh every time. Grab.
You're grabbing on core values.
And so is he.
John, are you grabbing on core values?
I'll grab the shit out of core values.
Are you grabbing on core values like that guy on the stage did?
I'll motorboat core values.
God. Thank you for watching us on the final best of five episode.
Steve, are you going to block your grab on the core values?
You know, I think they're going to turn it into a Twitch emote, and if they're smart, they will. I'm blocking for now.
I think we
need some time to rest.
Steve,
if I don't commentate Eva this year, I know why.
Yeah, that's because you grabbed on core values. Okay. Sorry, Alon, you don't have a mic. So we're moving on to Holy Totinos. Block and grab on Holy Totinos.
This is an interesting one. It's not really a mainstream meme. It's not like a huge meme. I thought it was funny when he did it. But if we're talking about like lasting meme value in the FGC, I'll block. But it was funny. I mean, I give it to him. I liked it.
Yeah, that was a hilarious one. Shout out to Ultra David. At an event that was sponsored by Holy Totinos. John, Holy Totinos, block or grab?
I don't want to grab every meme because otherwise, but yeah, that was smart and funny, and that's why it became a meme. So I'm going to try to be a little choosy. I think Holy Totinos was funny. I just don't think it had as much staying power as some of these other ones, so I'll block. But that's not to say that it wasn't a great FGC meme.
This one might not be fair for Steve because I know he's actually a big fan of Totinos. So block or grab on Holy Totinos?
Actually, no. Totina's pizza rolls, good. Totina's pizzas, terrible. Those little dollar party pizzas.
No,
I love party pizzas.
Used to come home after middle school and just eat one of those and play the original Battlefield game. Those are amazing. And for a dollar? Are you kidding?
Yeah, I'm on your side, John.
Yeah,
those
are delicious.
Pizzas are freaking terrible. So those crusts that are like so paper thin and
they're either chewy,
still frozen and they're still frozen and underdone, or they're burnt to a crisp. There is no middle ground there. It's just terrible.
I'm a Bagel Bites guy myself, so that's a block around the entire days.
It's a grab on the meat. It's a grab on the meat.
Oh, okay.
It's a block on the pizza.
I said the meat.
That'll be later when he watches the core values. All right, Left Behind. This is John D. He said, "Haters going to be left behind." And we sure did.
The John D thing like almost ceased being funny to me and like began being a little sad, which I do think is one of the core things of like a great all-time meme.
Is when it becomes tragic.
But I had to think about Left Behind for a second, so I'm probably going to, yet again, just to be choosy, I'll block. I would grab on every one of these memes in general. But if we're going with all-time best, I'm going to block.
Okay, John, are you going to block or grab on Left Behind?
It kind of makes me cringe, which I think is the whole thing behind it. Like, he's trying to talk tough, and everyone just kind of laughs at him. It's not my favorite meme, so I'll block.
Steve?
I will. I mean, it just sort of perfectly encaptured how, at least the perception of how people thought that Capcom was looking at Street Fighter V when it happened. So I got to grab. By the way, in chat, if you can play along by typing BOV block or BOV grab if you are a subscriber.
Capital B on block and capital G on grab. If Die by Sword has
subscribed for you.
Yeah.
That's the other option.
You can light a candle for our patron saint.
Or Twitch TV, let's be honest. All right.
Okay, moving on to the next one. 13-0. This is Perfect Legend versus Sonic Fox. He was a first to 10, and he somehow beat him 13-0.
People rush to Perfect Legend's defense every time someone slams this at him, but he permanently asked for it forever. I'm grabbing. Like, I'm sorry. You cannot get 10 fucking owed, then claim you'd still win, get destroyed again, and then be able to ever act like you shouldn't be talked shit at. Like, he literally asked for it for the rest of time. I'm sorry. He can never, ever, ever live this down. 13-0, great meme. It's
hilarious.
It's still funny.
That's a grab. John, what you got, bud?
I was hanging out with Perfect Legend right before he went down and did that exhibition. It wasn't a huge deal at the time. It was cool. But we were up at, I don't remember who else we were hanging out with. And I don't normally hang out with Carl. We just happened to be, you know, in the same room. Partaking in extracurricular activities, and he said
he's
to
a funny
me,
guy.
He's like,
I don't even dislike him. I'm just laughing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm probably gonna lose." I remember saying that and going, "Huh, yeah." And then I had the munchies, so I went and got something to eat. But he went and got 13-0'd, and for the rest of his life, no one's gonna write Perfect Legend without making a 13 out of the letters, and it's hilarious. And it still is like to this day one of my favorite memes. And it's like, it just happened. It was just a random ass Sunday for, you know, we were at a major but it was also the day history was made. So I will definitely grab.
And it's funny, man. Like, I mean, I've been 13-0'd playing blackjack with $100, right? You know, like sometimes you're just like, fuck, I need one more hand, right? And you lose, but you're asking for it when you do that. And he asked for it.
Steve, 13-0, what you got, pal?
Look, PL is one of the greatest all-time players in fighting games, but this is lore. This is permanent lore, and it also led to the greatest moment on Capcom Pro Talk ever. Flo's Carl, you fucked up rant. It is an all-time great. That is all day, every day crap.
All right, moving on to our next meme. 8.95. This is Canada Cup, putting it behind the paywall.
This is an interesting one because it's like, I don't think it's that funny, but it's like eternal, right?
It's endured.
Like, it has endured the test of time. 8.95. Anytime you have to pay for anything in an FGC stream, it will be 8.95 forever. Every DLC character, how much is it going to cost? 8.95. It will be forever the price of anything in fighting games is 8.95. And that's pretty funny. I mean, I remember this joke being made in Dive Kick. How long ago did that come out? Like, yeah, you can buy the infinite wind gem or whatever for $8.95. So, I mean, I don't laugh per se, but I'm like, oh, huh. Like, you're the first one to make an $8.95 meme out of that. So, yeah, I'll probably grab.
John?
I think that Mike's right in everything he just said. And I don't think that like this is supposed to be a slight to Lapchi, right, for charging and such. And but ultimately it doesn't come away with any kind of real negativity. I think it was just kind of like this playful, like, you're just being kind of stingy. But it's not, there's no bad blood involved. There's no like lasting issue that comes from it. No one really got hurt. I don't know that Lapchi's, it's probably Lapchi's like not his favorite number of all time anymore.
It's not even like in his top five most embarrassing moments.
No.
Well, I mean, I don't know. But at the end of the day, like everyone still loves Lapchi. They don't look at him in some negative light and such. So it seems like it's all in good fun. And it has the staying power. So I'll go ahead and grab.
Steve? 895 blocker grab on the meme.
I will grab on the meme when I can get a limo rental for 895. Until then, block.
All right, moving on to the next one, which is, you know, if you think about it, you can just play another character because they're actually just functions of one another. That was the death knell for our boy.
This, and I saw a spoiler of the next meme. This one's got to be a block for me. Yeah, it's kind of funny, right? But like, it's a little sad
because
like,
you're a Marvel player.
Because I'm a Marvel player, because Peter is such an FGC great and such like a positive thing to have come out of the FGC.
This might have been the nail in his coffin.
This was him sinking with the ship of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, and we haven't heard a lot from him since. And I think we're worse off as a community because Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite happened. And that's sad. That should not be how you feel about a new Marvel vs. Capcom game. So even though it's kind of funny... I'm going to block because I'm sad and Bible thump.
John?
I'm going to block because I 100% agree with what he was saying.
Yeah, we're big fans of Combo Fiend over here. Steve?
I got, for the same reasons I grabbed on Perfect Legend, it's lore and it just perfectly encapsulated the way that people perceived that Capcom was looking at Marvel. So... it just, that one word has so much emotion, so much feeling tied to it. So I have to grab.
Honorable mention, final one was going to be Thuggery. So it's just an honorable mention now because we're going with Total Eclipse.
It's like my meme. No.
You don't get to respond. John, Steve?
I forget. What was this one?
Exactly. It's not even a good enough
block. Steve?
It's one of our most popular faces. BOV Eclipse. The level of play you see now completely eclipses. And I feel that this meme completely eclipses nothing. It's I love it. I'm going to grab, but I understand if you have to block.
What was I going to say? Other notables were Viscant ending up on World Star. That makes me laugh. I think, to me, that might be my favorite meme of all time. Getting a message from my friend, "Don't you play these games?" And I was like, yeah, I do. I know that guy.
Was that him versus LTG?
Yeah, him versus LTG. Yep, that was, I will laugh forever at that video.
There's a lot of good ones, man.
God, I love that video.
Yeah, that's the one. That's a good one, but it's vulgar. Also, what he's standing up for was a good one. I really like what he's standing up for.
Oh, what was the Marn one with Sherry?
Solid four.
No. Stupid. The one where he was like,
"That's
don't."
Stupid. Oh no, you may not.
Yeah. Oh no, you may not.
What about Justin? You gonna learn today?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
So many classic memes and moments. Shout outs to the FGC for giving them all to us. That brings us to the end of Block Grab and
Monday Mid Mashers. Yep, lots of good ones.
There's some good ones. Shout outs to our Block Grab segment, and thank you to Steve for putting that together for us. Before we close out the show, we're going to hand it off to Steve.
Yay. Now I get to talk about real life shit. So those of you who follow me on Twitter, you read a little bit about what was going on. Those who don't, I can clue you in right now. Someone who has been very close to me for the last 9 years ended up taking their life on Sunday. So it's something that's rattled me. It's not been fun to deal with, to talk with her family, talk with her friends, and that's just on top of her not being around. And that shit sucks. She's someone who has dealt with depression and other issues for much of her life. And it was something she fought every day. And that fight finally ended. And I miss her so much. So what I would say is this. Whenever we talk about this, we always ask people to call a suicide line if they feel like they're at their lowest. And that's very important. That is always a good idea, in my opinion. But what I think we don't do a good enough job of is encouraging people to seek out help before it gets to that point. You know, I'm sorry. We need to do more to get people connected with the help they need. If you do feel like you, even if you're not in that dark of a place, but you feel like you need to talk to somebody, go ahead and talk to somebody. I promise you, there are people around you who are more willing to help you than you realize. There are more people who want to listen to you and to understand you than you realize. Whether that's a friend or whether that's a professional. Me personally, I have used a service called Walk-In Counseling, which is mental health services for people at no or low cost. And I would encourage you to seek that out if you ever feel like you need help, however much help you need. I've gotten a lot of messages over the last few days from the FGC, people I've met several times, people I've only had interactions with online, people I've never really talked to before. And the outpouring of support has just been, it's been overwhelming, and it's been a huge, huge help to know that I've got so many people who are in my corner. So to every one of you, I say thank you. I love you. It sounds cliche, but I really do. You know, even when I hate you guys, I love everyone in the FGC and this joy that we share in pressing buttons. The only thing I ask is that you be kind to each other, be excellent to each other, because you never know how important that kindness can be to somebody, how important that compassion can be to somebody. Even if it's a small thing, it could mean the world to somebody else. So thank you very much. And yeah, close us out on a happier note, please. Dumb meme. Give me one more dumb meme, Efren. Or did he go? He left.
I don't know.
No, we're muted.
Please give me a dumb meme. I need
Let's
one
see,
more
what's
laugh.
What's a good dumb meme that we didn't think about, Mike? Main Chicken from Excellent Adventures was a good one back in the day. John, what you got? Surely you get hit with memes. Event Scrubs, is that a good one?
That's my favorite. Is Akuma a strong character?
Is Akuma a strong character?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That is the eternal question.
Sorry, John. I was on the spot. All right. Thank you,
Steve.
All right.
I'll always be here for you to throw out of the bus in a pinch.
I really do feel bad. John, nothing but love for you. Nothing but love for you, Mike. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one, the fucking park champ. Steve, thank you. I know you wanted to close on a positive, but thank you for once again speaking about this so openly, and our condolences. And we're sorry for your loss, Steve. So thank you to everybody who watched. Go ahead, Steve.
I get to work with four of the best people I could ever ask for. And I thank you all so much for this. I really appreciate it.
And John's here too. So thank you very much. And we love you guys. We'll see you next week.
All right. We'll be right back.